So the other thing to keep in mind, and I say this because I see briefs that challenge my thoughts on this, is that there's unpublished opinions from like the Waco Court of Appeals. There are Fifth Circuit opinions. There's Texas Supreme Court opinions. There's all kinds of stuff in these briefs that it's like, wait, what? I dozed off. What happened? So these cases are not helping to push a strong argument in the court you're in, no matter where that is. So just keep in mind that you can't use any authority to get your point to actually move the ball forward, right? So unpublished opinions are not that helpful, but they can be persuasive. So again, this isn't a whole cloth, this is just a general rule. Unpublished Court of Criminal Appeals opinions are persuasive to a lot of people, so I would use those. But barring that example, unpublished opinions do not really have any precedential value, and they're not going to persuade the court. And good lawyers will call you out about it in their response, either in oral argument or in their briefing. And so you need to be aware of the cases that are going to give you the best position to win. And the other thing about this whole precedential value is keep in mind that the courts of appeals and the Court of Criminal Appeals generally want to maintain the precedent that exists. They are not about going outside of the box. They're not about creative. They're not about new and innovative. They're very much about maintaining a status quo and a consistency in the court. And so if that's where we are, then you have to know that the cases coming from that court are going to maintain that kind of consistency, which makes everybody feel warm and fuzzy about it. So those are some overviews. Let's talk a little bit about winning the moot court round. This should never, ever be a question. Are you going to win the moot court round? Yes. Yes, you are. There's really, in my mind, no reason not to win. Why? Because it's all about preparation. All about preparation. But the right kind of preparation. So I talk a lot about, and will say repeatedly, it's like I'm all about working smart, not hard. So some of these tips are to help you work smart and not hard. So when you go into oral argument and your opponent, for example, has like all these papers and briefs and binders, and it's like, what are you going to do with all that? There's no way we're getting to that. So instead, we need to synthesize what we're doing and focus on what you can do inside that room by preparing in advance. Again, you need to know your panel. But don't just know your panel. You may know who the judges are on the justices are on the panel. You may know who the judges are if you're in the Court of Criminal Appeals, right? So some of the most persuasive argument I've ever seen is they'll be like, Judge Newell, in your opinion on Smith v. State, you said X, Y, and Z. Like, really know your panel. Know the cases that they have authored. Know what they say about issues that are parallel to yours, if not directly on point. But people who walk into the Court of Appeals and they're like, wait, what was the name of the Chief Justice again? That's not good, right? So you need to know their names. Let's start there. Then you need to know some of their opinions, and you need to go beyond your briefing when you're getting ready for argument to really drill down on your issues, of course, but also on your panel. Who are the justices? Who is your audience? Because these are the people you're trying to persuade, right? So, speaking of knowing things and thinking in advance, you need to know your opponent, right? How are you going to win the moot court round if you don't know who's on the other side? Harvey Specter, oh my gosh. I mean, come on. Don't you guys watch Suits? So he is a fierce advocate. He's the kind of guy that goes way outside the bounds, who's always prepared, super aggressive, whatever. So that may be your opponent. It may be somebody who doesn't prepare. It may be somebody who doesn't write a brief. It may be somebody who cites to unpublished opinions, or somebody who goes outside the record in the oral argument. You need to know who is on the other side so you can be as prepared as possible to, again, win the moot court round. And I say this because I go to arguments all the time and I'll be like, or I hear about them and I'm like, who is on the other side? And they're like, I don't know. Some guy from Harris County DA's office, I don't know. And it's like, unbelievable. How could you walk into that room and not know who's on the other side? Because it matters. And in appellate work, I think, as you all know on both sides, oh, it's tough work. I don't know about you, but I lose a lot. So when you're losing all the time, it's like your confidence is restored somehow because you can at least win the moot court round. Even if you're going home like, there's no way we're winning this, you can win the moot court round if you are prepared. And so here's the other element of preparation. You need to know your best cases. So all this stuff on the table, you don't need that. You need like your 3 to 5, 3 best cases. Why do you win? 3 cases that tell me I win. But here's the thing that a lot of people overlook. What are the other 3 cases? What has your opponent brought forward in their briefing that suggests you need to know this better than they do? You need to explain it, distinguish it, do something with it. I mean, the whole idea of oral argument is that you know a lot about what the issues are by the time you get there. So you know what you're going to win or lose on. You know what your opponent thinks you're going to win or lose on. So not being prepared for that or ready to answer those tough questions –